بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One great concern that every man has, that his needs must be taken care of at an advanced old age. The man still says, make dua, okay, I'm not muhtaj to anybody. So this is a great concern everybody has, and perhaps rightfully he has this concern that he doesn't wish to be dependent on anybody. Then the second concern he has is that what I have must be sufficient and there must be fulfillment in it. If it's a plate of rice, whatever it is, but I must have the fulfillment, satisfaction, and the happiness from it. The third concern that all of us have is the dependence, children, wife, subordinates, and our children. This is the third major concern in all our lives. Allah has created us with these type of needs and these type of concerns. To a certain extent, animals have similar concerns, but that concern is for a short while. It takes care of its small, its young, but for a short time until it can fend for itself. And then its duty is terminated. One person had hunted a female buck. So that buck spoke to him, that you see, Allah Ta'ala has made me responsible for my young. And it will take me approximately another 5 or 6 months, and I will wean that young of mine. Once I've discharged this responsibility, then you can hunt me again, you can take me on. But now I'm charged with this responsibility to look after my young, and once I've accomplished it, you can allow me to accomplish this responsibility and duty, and thereafter I'll come back to you. So all makhluk have some responsibility and some concern, and Allah Ta'ala knows that we have these concerns. He's created us, so He knows exactly what is in us, what are the type of fikr and concern that passes our mind. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ. We have created man, and we know exactly those thoughts that cross his mind. What you're thinking now, what concerns you have for the present moment, and then for the short term, what will be your concerns, and for the distant term, what is your concern. So, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ. We know exactly all your concerns we know. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to you than your jugular. When we say Allah Ta'ala is closer to us than our jugular, what He means? When I say I'm close to you, then we have three meanings. In other words, I've got a very close affinity with you. And the second meaning, we take it in a literal sense, in a physical sense, that bodily we are close to each other, right? And there's a third meaning to it. In other words, the lazim of close. You know, when you say close to someone physically, then what comes out of that closeness? There's two things that basically comes out from that closeness. One is, you know exactly what's going on with that person. I'm so close, I know exactly what's going on. Right. And number two, if I need to render any support, assistance, help, anything, then I can do it immediately. I'm so close to the person. Right. Person is ill, he's ailing, so you're close to him. In other words, whatever assistance he requires, I can make it available. If he needs to be guarded against anything, I can do it. And number two, I know exactly what's in him. So when we say Allah Ta'ala is close to us, then this is what it's meant. That ilman, he knows exactly what is with us. So he knows you closer, he knows you better than your own self. He's so close to you that he knows you better than your own self. And number two, he can make things available to you better and easier and faster than you can make things available for yourself. So he's so close to you. Now, when Allah Ta'ala is so close to us, he knows exactly what our concerns, right? Then, in this whole equation, where do we fit in? How do we work out this whole problem? Right? Like I say, he's created us. We believe that he's created us. And he knows exactly our concerns, right? And he knows that we are responsible for our dependence, right? For short term, we are responsible. For our long term, we are responsible. Now, then what has he asked us to do in order to be able to level the score, to complete this equation? What has he asked us to do? There is a dua that comes in the hadith, Nabi Sallam has taught us, أَنِّعْنِي بِمَا رَزَقْتَنِي. This is our first concern, that Allah Ta'ala, my needs, you take care of. You take care of my needs. You know, we are worried about our needs, immediate needs, and our future needs we are concerned about. Man is fit and sound. The next moment you hear he's paralyzed, he's got a stroke, and he can't move. Don't we hear these things? This morning we heard someone has got a stroke, make dua for the person, right? So the man is fit and strong, he's sound, everything, and in a flip of a second, something else goes wrong with him. Young person, strong. Age is no restriction for illness or death, right? So this is the first concern, and Allah Ta'ala answers this first concern. He shows you a solution to the first. قَنِّعْنِي بِمَا رَزَقْتَنِي. Allah Ta'ala grant me contentment, satisfaction, that I feel a fulfillment within me. You know, we are created with concern, fikr, anxiety. We are created such. But if Allah Ta'ala places contentment and satisfaction deep down within our system, then we won't see the need for more and more and more. But if he erases that from your system, then no matter what you have got, you still fear poverty. I haven't got enough. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? So the anxiety is there all the time. And this property has to work out. And this investment, what's going to happen to it? It's going to crash. What's going to happen? Have I got some cushion for myself? Have I got something to fall back upon? So you've got that anxiety. So Allah Ta'ala says, I know your concerns. وَنَحْنُ أَقَرَبُ إِلَيْهِ نَحْنُ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَ الْإِنسَانَ. I've created you. So I know you. Then what are your concerns? Then you come and ask me, you refer to me, I will show you the solutions to your concern. You will invent a solution for yourself. You will create a solution for yourself. It may not be workable. And 100% won't be workable. It may be that it's an illusion in your mind, you feel something. But deep down your heart, and you know what? I have got that customer, and that customer is seeing me right? For 1 million every week, right? And then, if someone is going to snooker me and take that customer away from me, what's going to happen to me? Don't we have that concern as businessmen? We have that concern. He's just going to show him something, and that I'll be robbed from that customer. He will just now give my opposition, my customer list. Don't you have that problems? My clientele list, he will just give it, pass it on, the information. What will happen to me? I'll charge him for fraud, but the whole game is over. He's passed on the clientele list to my opponent. What's going to happen to me? So you have all this concern, fikr, concern. Right? Night and day you have this concern. So Allah Pak is teaching us on dua, simple dua. When Allah Ta'ala is so close to us, and we commence His kalam, Bismillahir Rahman, most gracious. It is inviting us, by you did everything else in life, but did you refer to me? Did you ask me? I am so ghafoor, I am so merciful, I am so compassionate, I am so kind. What need of yours I didn't fulfill? It's like a complaint from Allah Ta'ala. We're starting with Bismillah, and Allah Pak is complaining about us. What need of yours I didn't fulfill? When you could not fend for yourself, at that time I took care of you with so much of care and affection that any wind couldn't get you. Whatever you required for your nourishment, that was provided. You required warmth, we made that available. You required protection, we made that available. You required nourishment, we made that available. You required to be safe from infection and sicknesses, we made that available. So when we did everything for you, then did you look for anybody else for any comfort and any solace and you forget us? How can you do this? Hazrat Insan, how do you come to this type of conclusions? So the first portion of this dua, قَنِّعْنِي بِمَا رَزَقْتَنِي, grant me that satisfaction, that fulfillment, that within my mind, I feel totally complacent, I feel nice, I feel comfortable. Allah, what you've given me is really more than what I can bargain for. I don't need anything more. Allah, you've given me too much. You've got two people working for you. One person is always complaining, boss, you're not seeing me right. 100 rand is not sufficient. You know, all the expense and all that today is not right. He's not doing the work properly, but every day he's complaining, boss, you're not seeing me right. 200 rand is not sufficient. Can't say hello. You know the expenses, travel, this, that. And we're living in the 21st century. Right? In the meanwhile, he's not doing your work right. And then he's complaining every day. And the other person you're paying 50 rand, he's doing more than really what he's supposed to be doing. He's doing the work, the obligations and the optional work, he's doing it, but he's doing it. And there's a smile on his face. And his boss, you know, you're too kind to me, man. You're too nice to me. So this person is also working for you. The responses are different. He is deficient in his duties and he's complaining. Here, he is completing his duties and responsibilities, but he's over grateful to you. Who will your heart take to? The first or the second? So, when we behave, our minds need to behave in this manner. Allah Pak, you've given him more than what I can bargain for. So much of sanctuary, so much of security, so much of protection. So, Allahumma qanni'ni. When you're going to make this dua, and this is answered, then you'll find that deep down satisfaction. Allah Pak, you've given me too much. Too much, Allah Pak. I can't make shukr to, I can't show you gratitude. So the first thing we need in our lives is we need that fulfillment. And Allah Pak is showing you this dua, that how are you going to get this fulfillment? Make this dua. Number two, then you want it to cover all your requirements, the requirements, your present requirements, your tomorrow's requirements, and your long-term requirements. Barik li fi. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani wa barik li fi. So if you want to put barakat Allah Pak, then for millions of years it will carry on. Not for 1 year, for millions of years. You give me barakat, one nazar of barakat, one nazar of rahmat, and my millions of years are sorted out. Zara nazre karam. Zara nazre karam, Allah Ta'ala. This little bit of affection of yours, just one side of yours will see me right through for millions and billions and years of years. Not only me, it will see everybody. But Allah Ta'ala, your nazar I need. I need your sight of affection. I need your compassionate sight. That's all. One moment. And then you see what happens. Everything happens. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي. And the third concern I had raised was, what's going to happen to my children, dependents, wife, in my life, after I'm gone? See, this is a major concern everybody has. تَوَخْلُفْ عَلَى كُلِّ غَائِبَةٍ لِي بِخَيْرٍ. وَخْلُفْ عَلَى كُلِّ غَائِبَةٍ لِي بِخَيْرٍ. Every subordinate of mine, that is not with me now, that he is not with me, but he is my subordinate, he is my dependent, he is dependent upon me. Allah Ta'ala, take care of him in my absence, in my presence. Allah Ta'ala, you take care of them. I'll be here with them for a short while, I'll leave, I'll go to work, then in a short while after that I'll leave this world, but my children will be around, and then the grandchildren will be around. Allah Ta'ala, you take care of them. Isn't that our concern? It's our concern. Definitely it's our concern. We cannot hide away from the fact we are human beings. We have this concern. Why we are toiling? We are toiling for them. Aren't we toiling for them? And this dua is showing it's a complete prescription for the present life, for the future life, and for those that are to follow. Allah Ta'ala, you work everything out for them. And work it out. Don't only just work it out. Allah Ta'ala, grant us that deep down satisfaction that we don't see the need for anything more. You feel so satisfied, so nice, it's enough. Enough is enough. Don't you see that satisfaction that Allah gives an animal? It'll see a plate of food, right? Right? That dog or whatever it is, it's seeing that plate of food, it's eaten, finish. Then it doesn't go back to that food. It won't say, "No, hey, I need to deposit this for tomorrow morning in my deep freezer." Does it say that? No, it's so satisfied. It's satisfied with its creator. Zara hum qanaat ke sabak ko seekhe is be-zaban janwar se. This tongueless, this speechless animal, can't we learn satisfaction and contentment from it? That it's got so much of nazar, so much of focus on Allah Ta'ala, so much of dhyan, and so much of trust in Allah Ta'ala. It's eaten, the next morning, Allah Ta'ala will provide it again. The one that has provided it this morning, that same one will provide for it tomorrow morning. See? Is there any shortage in the treasures of Allah Ta'ala? See that creator that feeds the whales. One whale, I think, will eat, I think, half of us, three quarter of us, in one gulp. A big, massive whale. It will take us all in one shot, in one go it will take us all. So this is the creator that we are worshipping. He is providing one creation of his with so much of rosy. Do we have any fear about any deficiency? وَلَا تَخْشَ مِنْ ذِي الْعَرْشِ إِقْلَالًا. The one that is the master of the throne. Do you fear any type of poverty from him? When you connected with him, do you feel any fear? وَخْلُفْ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ غَائِبَةٍ لِي بِخَيْرٍ. So this is a major concern, especially in this day and time, and with all the markets crashing, with the recession, and international economy being unstable, everybody's concerned. Helter skelter. If anybody speaks, last week, 3-4 days ago, someone was telling me that America is pouring in $1 trillion into the economy just to give it a boost, $1 trillion into the economy. But he says that the consumer is still not feeling secure. Because they say that that's $1 million or $1 trillion that is going to be injected into the economy. They will give it to the money lenders and the money homes, banks, etc. Right? And then these people will then start borrowing, right? And when we cannot fulfill and honor the payments, they will attach our properties. So what is the need? We've already gone through it, our cars are taken away, our properties are attached. So why should we go that route again? That everything that we earned, everything is wiped from underneath our feet. Why should we go that route again? So Rasulullah Baksam has taught us the lesson of contentment, satisfaction. Kanaat. This is a lesson he's taught us. And the lesson that the world teaches us is this lesson of greed. For a moment, we just keep quiet for a half a minute, 1 minute, and think to ourselves, within our minds, in our hearts of heart, right? Tell me that if all of us, we only lived within our means, strictly, we lived just within our means, no begging, borrowing. We've got 1 rand, we're living accordingly. We're living 20, we got 20 rands, we're living accordingly. Tell me, will these money homes and these banks can ever thrive, can ever live? Just for one day, can they live? They can't live. So they are living at the expense of our greed. They're creating a greed, and then we get dependent and connected to them, and then they can live, right? If we sort our greed out, then they can't thrive. They can't live for a moment. They can't live. It's our greed. It's human greed that's making them survive. And then we're saying all the money suckers, and they're sucking our blood and all that. But you want your blood to be sucked out, therefore you're going to them. You are blaming them, but do you blame yourself as well? They see in the market, they put the finger in the pulse. Hey, this is a nice fish. How was fishing? How was baiting him? You get all types of fishermen, bigger fishermen, smaller fishermen, all types. Don't you see when the sardine shoal is here? Everybody is fishing that shoal. It is the sharks, it is the dolphins, then it is man, it is the birds. Everybody's got different ways to bait. Everybody's got different styles. But everybody is doing the same thing. So we are in the same rut today. We connected ourselves there in the wrong place. And then we say, "Oh, they're sucking our blood. They want so much of interest. They want this." But by kisne shuru kiya? Who started it off? You started it off. They seen your pulse. And when they seen your pulse, they say, "No, we must hook this person in." And then we say to ourselves, "No, only first time I'll do it, and I'll never do it again. One time I'll do this interest business, and I'll never do it again." Listen, don't let the shaitan fool you. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. This big major deceiver, let him not deceive you. You've got it today, you enjoy it, you don't have it. So what's wrong? What's the problem? Is there any problem in living a low standard? Is there anything? It's not a problem. You don't have it. Tomorrow you have it, you enjoy it. So one lesson we need to learn is the lesson of contentment, satisfaction. If it was really an insult, an embarrassment, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have seen to it that his respected daughter Fatima radiallahu anha is not living in that type of poverty and that type of difficulty where there are marks on the shoulders. See? Where her clothes are getting covered with dust. See? There is not sufficient food to eat. Days pass and there isn't even a light that is lit in the home. Tell me, you know anybody in this world who lived for 3 days without any fire being lit in his home? The poorest of the poor, even living in a jundol, you know anybody lived with a fire not lit in his home? Yeah, Nabi Sallam used to live like this for months. 1 month, second month, third month. So if it was embarrassment, it was disgrace, Allah Pak would have definitely protected him, guarded him out from that. But really, disgrace is something else. That disgrace is in his interest. This whole system that we are following, that's the disgrace. But then, when your whole intelligence understanding has taken a reverse, it's gone reverse. So, the disgrace will seem like respect. Embarrassment will seem like respect. You see, one person came from outside India, you know. He came from outside India. You know, you got a lot of countries outside India. China and some borders, Afghanistan and what. So you get different people coming in for business reason, whatever it is. So one big size, you know, double Pathan size, he came in. So he doesn't know the language and he's coming from the sticks on that side, coming from the village. He doesn't know urban life. He comes here and he's seen one mitai shop. A mitai shop, all these expensive articles. So, tasted one. Now he doesn't know it's a shop, you know. He didn't see urban life, so he tasted one. Now he's got the thrill, it's very, very tasty. And his big arms and big hands, and he's just taking one gulp. This person, small baniya that is running the shop, he says, I'm going to tell him anything. One slap of his is enough to put me down. So he called for the police. So the police, now they had an immediate hearing, you know, what happened, you know. So this, you know, this person has come, he's a foreigner. And we need to send a lesson to him. We need to set a lesson with him that there may never be a recurrence of this. So what must we do? So we mount him onto a donkey and let children go behind him and children go after him and in front of him, you know. And they must parade him around the city before him and behind him and they must disgrace him like this. You know, the whole city, the children will be parading him like this. So he will be really embarrassed and it will be a nice lesson for the rest of mankind, or the rest of our city. Anyway, they did whatever they needed to do, and he went back home. So they asked him, how do you find India? He says, no, superb, man, excellent, more than excellent. Why? How? He says, no, you get mitai free there, then you get a donkey parade around the city, and you get an escort of children from all sides. So when the person's intelligence has gone off, insult and disgrace is seen to be respect. Really, when your intelligence goes off, you know, and especially with this riba system, you know, riba. Really, your intelligence definitely goes reverse, it goes wrong with the riba system. Because يَتَخَبَّتُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسْ. This is the only thing about which the Quran Sharif says, the one that goes in this, then he goes insane, he goes off. On the day of Qiyamah, when he gets up from his grave, he will go off. So I haven't seen a warning like this in the whole Quran Sharif. Allah Pak speaks about anybody getting off his brains. And then you see it within our community. The mind just goes off. It just goes off. You know now, hey, you know, the daughter's wedding now. I need to do something. If I don't do it, then the whole town will say, oh, she was a Garib's daughter, you know. And therefore, you just left her through her. She was a burden on your back. So you have to just get rid of her. Therefore, you just wiped her out. Now, if you do it in style, then people will say, No, she was a very lovable girl, but we let her move with respect and dignity. Never mind, we go to interest and all once in a lifetime. But then what? You're starting off a new life on a foundation that is haram. How can this ever be prosperous? You imagine to yourself. How can this ever be prosperous? A new life is being started off in the life of a human being on the foundation of haram, how can it be prosperous? There will definitely be difficulty, haram. There will be definitely problems and difficulties, worries, anxiety. You're starting off on the wrong note. So really, going through a little bit of constraints for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no embarrassment, is not a disgrace, it's not an insult. Going in haram definitely is an insult. It's an embarrassment, it's a disgrace. My mother often tells me, you know, that when we were living in Randall's Road, in her childhood she was there. So they received some guests, and the sofas had some patches, right? So what they do is, if it's got patches, then they put some bed sheet or something over it, so it camouflages it, so it looks a little bit more approachable, more presentable for the mehman. Talk about the 1950s, 40s. So the mehman left the house, and they were giggling, you know, and they're showing signs, oh, see this. So she was small, and she felt a little bit embarrassed, so she told my nani, her mother, that, you know, if you could just replace the sofas, you will save yourself from all this embarrassment. See how they... So my mother says, I still remember the anger on my nani's face. He says, what? For the impression of yourself, must you put yourself into difficulty and get into debt? No, never. The whole world can laugh at you, but you got your independence. You're not obligated to anybody. You're living free. You can breathe free air. Fresh and free air. Now, Ma, why must you get yourself into obligations? Why must you get into yourself into debts? I mean, the hadith says it. There must be a reason why the hadith says that there's debts, etc. It's an embarrassment during the day, and it's sleeplessness during the night. In the day, it is embarrassment. Now, I'm indebted, right? I took some loans from you. I can't face you. First day I see you, don't worry. I'll sort you out, man. Now, the second namaz, the third time, you know, I'm going to go there, and this man is going to see me again. What face I must confront him with? What face I must confront him with? Hey, now, I'd rather go for another masjid. I went to the other masjid. Incidentally, he was there for the outgush. And there I jammed him again. Oh, he jammed me again. He was there for the outgush. Now what excuse I must put? I say, hey, you know what? I just forgot. You know, some excuse you have to look for that moment and just cover yourself. And by the third day, if you just see him or just make salam to him, then he'll swear you. Your debtor will actually swear you. What do you think? I'm running away with your money. I'm a chore, what? Every day, every now and then you just phone. But I just phoned up because you got a child in the family. There's a child in your house. So I made salam just to compliment you, just to congratulate you. Oh, and I'm sorry about that. I'm telling you of real behavior, conduct. So it's an embarrassment during the day. It's an embarrassment during the day, and it is sleeplessness during the night. It is sleeplessness during the night, tossing and turning around, this payment and that payment, this payment and that payment, this payment. Outwardly, you look like a mortar. Everything is seeming to be very, very well. But really what's going within you, the horror, the terror, the fire that is burning within you, is only you that knows. Kabar ka hal burda jaane. It is only the dead that knows what goes in the grave. What's going on with you, it's only you that knows, nobody else knows. But why do you put yourself into that problem? Live within your means. This is a lesson today. Live within your means. Don't, it's not a disgrace, it's not an insult, it's not an embarrassment, no matter what the world says. But if it was an insult, definitely Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have not gone through it. The Sahaba Ikram would have not gone through it. It's not an insult, it's not a disgrace. Disgrace is putting yourself into this. Mawlana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, a very great Buzurg, a very great Alim, very great Buzurg. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah was a student. So, on one occasion, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah suggested to him, Hazrat, you know, you built your home with mud. Now comes the rainy season. In India, you got 3-4 months monsoon rain, non-stop, one way. So all the mud walls all washed out. Hazrat, you got enough money, you can't afford it. Why don't you put a nice wall, maintenance free, and then you don't have to keep on spending. Once and for all, you'll spend about 3 times the amount, and it'll be a solid structure. come the rainy season, it can take the whole season. And for years it will continue. Now every time the rainy season comes, you have to redo the walls. So it becomes an expensive thing. The Buzuganadin, they respect people, whatever they are, even though it may be their student, but they will respect their views. And their suggestions, they will take it to heart. And even they know that what suggestions are being presented to them may be wrong and incorrect, but just to respect them and just to make them feel comfortable, they will take it. And maybe they give it a second thought. So after a few days, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman comes back to his ustad, courteous visit. So ustad says, you know what, Mufti Shafi, you gave me that suggestion, I took it to heart, I considered it, I reviewed it, I thought about it. I brainstormed it, you know. From different angles I brainstormed it. But then I felt, no, I should still go with the same mud walls. So I asked, why? But why? He says, you know what? Then I reflected, I seen the whole locality, I seen everybody has got all mud homes. They got mud built homes. And if these poor people, if they see the solid structure in their midst, they will really feel sorrowful and they will feel disgraceful about their poverty. They will feel, had we only had the wealth, then we would have also built like how these people are building. Right? We would also build home like that. So I will be bringing pain to my neighbor. Whereas Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has spoken so highly about the neighbor, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that I was afraid that Jibreel al-Islam will make him an heir in the estate. Yeah, I know I can't do much for my neighbor, but the least I could do is not be a cause for any pain for my neighbor. You see, Abu Zughanuddin, that is why the need for us to listen to the stories of Abu Zughanuddin. They were akrabu minna ila sunnah. They were closest to the sunnah. And we have gone miles away. Miles away. A recent buzurg, not very many years ago, Sahanpur, and you know, you talk of this monsoon rains. Rains came and his whole wall collapsed. So he wanted to redo the wall. Neighbor came along and he said, this wall is in my property. You can't do it. So anyway, Mawla showed him the papers that, see, this is within my property. It's not on your property. See the papers. So he said, I don't know anything about this. This belongs to me and I will go to court. So Mawla has got a lot of people in as legal advisors, you know. So they're all advising Mawla. Mawla, you just follow with this court proceedings and we'll fix him up. We'll put him in his place. And everybody is prepared to give Mawlana their help and their assistance. Mawlana says, Mawlana, Jazakallah for all your kind cooperation and assistance. But you know what? I'm not going to go that route. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has spoken very highly about the neighbor. And the Quran Sharif says, وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانُ وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْجَارِ ذِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجُمْبِ وَبَنِ السَّبِيلِ. Three type of neighbors. One is the neighbor that is living a distance away. One is the neighbor that is living close to you. And one is the neighbor that is a companion with you in your journey, in your traveling. Right? So three type of neighbors and show consideration to them. So I am afraid, when I look within myself, I didn't do sufficient for my neighbor. Now this is one occasion that I can at least cover up, you know, for all the past I can cover up. Whereas Mawlana was a considerate person, very considerate person. But for all the past, I would just be able to cover up for this. So he goes up to the neighbor and he says, you know what, sell me my land, sell me my own land. And he bargains with him and he purchases his own land. You see, the consideration for neighbors. So we need to understand the shar'i mizaj. What is the shar'i? What is the dini mizaj? What is the dini temperament? What deen want from us? What is the temperament? You see, to say, to take debts and loans and all is not haram. Yes, definitely 100% that to take a debt, to take a loan, etc. is not haram and impermissible. Right? But now look at it. Look at the shar'i perspective. Nabi Sam also took a loan. Right? But when he took a loan, for what did he take a loan? وَدِرْعُهُ مَرْهُونَةٌ عِنْدَ يَهُودِيَّةٍ For essential grains, what for essential grains for his household, not for himself also. Essential grains for his household, he took along. Now that is like a life-threatening situation. What? For a life-threatening situation, for the farz and the obligation that Allah Ta'ala has shouldered him with, he's taken along. Understand? It's a life-threatening situation. You can't live without grains. And it is an obligation. It's an obligation. I need to look after them. So to fulfill this obligation, he's taken a loan. Right? Do you see the circumstance where he's taking a loan? It's not just ordinary situation. It is a life-threatening situation where he's taking a loan. وَدِرْعُهُ مَرْهُونَةٌ عِنْدَ يَهُودِيَّةِ And this carries on. This whole incident of Mawla Azhar Hussain Sahib, it carries on. You see, the type of consideration. Now, I just want to show you, just digress a little bit, and how this all applies to us. It's a culture nowadays, unfortunately, not a very good culture. I won't say it's haram, but it's not a very good culture. It's the eating out culture, right? And you ask those people that have been there or working in this type of environments, the culture has gone even more worse. What has happened now? Eating out there, and if there's any leftover, everything is thrown into the dirt box. Sometime up to half, sometime up to quarter, one third of the food that's left over in the eating out, you are throwing it into the dirt box. And you're coming out with an image, oh, he's a wealthy person. He just throws money. He's not really concerned about it. He's not really concerned about it. He can eat so much and he can throw so much also. Now, you take it with pride, really. In the Allahi Azim, this is a great sin in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was warned, Ya Aisha, akrimi al-khubz. O Aisha, you respect that bread. In other words, sustenance, respect it. You see, this means of our sustenance of livelihood, we need to respect it. I don't say hoard it. I don't say be a miser, but you respect it. The means that Allah Ta'ala has provided, you respect it. And then Hazrat Aisha is told thereafter, that when that bread, that sustenance leaves a home, and very seldom it returns. You disrespect it, you dishonor it. That is the food of Allah Ta'ala. The skies worked for it, the clouds worked for it, the sun worked for it, the earth worked for it. How many hundreds of men worked behind it? And you just take it and then you throw it, you dump it. Doesn't it invite the wrath and the anger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? You can't eat it, alright, you cannot eat it. Can't you ask for a paper, fold it up, have it for the next day. And if you don't even want to do that, there are a lot of poor people, don't you see, around the streets. Around the streets, people don't have food. You will actually go and you will find people hunting things from the dirt box. And here, we got the heart to go and dump the thing. Can't we do that? At least take that food, just wrap it up. Sayyidina Thanvi Sahib says, I was traveling by train. And there was a very pious person of my town. He was also in the same compartment as myself. We were traveling together. It happened that one morsel of food fell onto the floor. Now, on the one side, he's a very pious person. On the other end, he's also a very notable, very, very popular person in the town. So he found it below his dignity to pick that food up. And with his shoes, he just kicked it under the seat. Mawla says, I couldn't stick this, I couldn't contain this. But now what do I do? We are traveling, we are all equal. I can't go and reprimand him in public. But just I couldn't just stick this, I couldn't just stomach this. So Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, was with Mawlana. So Mawlana asked him, just to cover embarrassment, etc., that can you just pick this up? You know, go and wash it, I will have it. I'm hungry, I will have it. Mawlana had to cover it up, you know, cover up the story. Khada Sahib understood immediately what Mawlana was referring to. So he says, Mawlana, but if I have it, will there be any problems? No, there's no problem. If you want to have it, you can have it. I thought I will have it, but you are willing to have it, you are desirous to have it, you have it, don't worry. Anyway, later on, this person met Khada Sahib rahmatullahi after a couple of months. So he says, you know what? When Mawlana instructed you to pick up that morsel, wash it, and bring it for him, really, main toh mara jata tha. At that time, I was drowning in shame. You know, if you had slaughtered me with 100 swords, it would have been better than me going through that disgrace and embarrassment. That food I kicked with my shoes just to keep my dignity and my respect. And I realized what a folly and a stupid thing I've done. But at that moment I couldn't do anything because of my position, or I couldn't do anything. But you know, from that day till now, if even one morsel of rice falls onto the dastarkhan, I pick it up and I eat it. Even one morsel of rice has to fall onto the dastarkhan, I pick it up and eat it. One musalli from our masjid is late now, very pious person, very, very pious person. And I remember him around the 60s, was a very, very wealthy person. Factories and all that he had. So I asked him one day, very regular musalli, very pious. So I asked him, Chacha, you know what, one day you were so wealthy, and you had mills and you had factories around the 50s and 60s. You were such a wealthy and prosperous person. And then this poverty just came over you. How did it happen? Now, I asked him out of curiosity. I was young now. The Chacha was a little bit quite friendly. So you can ask him, Chacha, what happened to you that this poverty just came over you? He says, it's embarrassing, but we went into extravagance and wastefulness. That wastefulness and extravagance has brought us to this point. Had only myself and my children, had we only respected food, and we used to eat half and throw half. Eat little and throw little. Allah Pak doesn't like this. Small little fashion just changed, and we caught the heart to throw the clothes away. We don't have that respect, that appreciation, whose clothes it is. Allah Ta'ala has provided. A small fashion change, this adjustment and that adjustment, and that favor of Allah Ta'ala is being disregarded. So won't it attract the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala? Okay, they don't appreciate. So what's the need to give them? What's the need to extend my favors to them? So you see the lesson of contentment, satisfaction, and live within our means. Don't go beyond that. It's not an Islamic life. Really, it's not an Islamic life. We don't say it's haram. See? If it's styled correctly, we won't say it's haram. But really, it's void of Islamic spirit. Islamic spirit is, you live within your means. You got 1,000 rands for a week, live accordingly. You got 5,000 rands, live accordingly. But don't waste. Kulu washrabu wala tusrifu. Allah doesn't want us to waste. What a cent, not a half a cent. Don't waste it. Whatever it is. But remember, what forces of nature had worked to bring that, make that available to you. The sun had worked, the moon had worked, the skies had worked, the clouds had worked, the earth had worked. Everybody's combined effort to bring that one morsel of food, and you just eat it, and you waste it after that. See? Don't you see all the effort that has gone behind it? The little bit that toast has gone has burnt a little bit, slightly on the side. Can't you eat that? Can't you just remove the burnt section and eat that? No, I can't have that. How could you burn this toast? You can't even look after one slice of bread. What can I trust you with? Is this what we call appreciation? Is this what we call qadr? This ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, like it comes very easily, it can also leave very easily. So one is this lesson of qanaat, this lesson of satisfaction, and how we need to instill it into ourselves, into our children. Hazrat Rahmat was so particular about this qanaat and satisfaction, etc. Sometimes people will send letters to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, and he's showing us himself. Well, he'll conceal the identity of the person, but he needs to teach us a lesson. So the person is sending one full scrap page for a letter that's about 4 lines. Letter is 4 lines, but he's sending a whole full scrap page. 30 lines are being wasted. So Hazrat Rahmatullah will write there. In that one line he will write, is this not israf, is this not wastefulness, extravagance? Now that is to impress upon us that, see, this is extravagance, this is wastefulness. You can do without it, half a page, quarter page, you got a full scrap page, you can write 10 letters with that. Now you wasted that entire page. So this was to instill upon us, and to impress upon, not that Hazrat Muhammad was miserly, don't ever get the wrong picture, don't get the wrong end. See? You know, if he was there at the Khanqa on a daily basis, he would be spending approximately 500 to 1,000 rupees in charity every day. No beggar is turned empty-handed, 750 rupee. 100. For Indian standards at that time, 1970s, it was a big amount, very big amount, but daily spending. So there was no wastage in that respect. So the charities were going on, but in his personal capacity, he wasn't wasting. In fact, you know, you talk about wastefulness. Hazrat Muhammad's adat was, his tabiat was, we traveled with him, so we know some personal things of his. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fazl. That even, you know, tea has to fall down onto the dastarkhan, he will try and rake that up with a spoon and he will drink that. Ye bi Allah Ta'ala ki ni'mat. This is also the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. How can I waste it? Yeah, I will. If a whole cup of tea has fallen down onto the dastarkhan, we'll just take a rag and without anything, we'll think we're doing a great service to the household, that we just cleaning up, we're mopping up. So this qanaat and this contentment and this appreciation of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not going into debts, unnecessary. Why should we go into it? What is the reason? This one person says, no, you know, I've got so many debts, so much of debts, millions, couple of million I've got. By then you got so much of debts, then why don't you sell the two properties from the 20 properties, sell the two properties and then clear your debts. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when anybody would pass away, then he would ask, has he got any debts to settle? People say, yeah, he's got some debts to settle. So, well, I'm not performing the janazah namaz. You people perform the janazah namaz. I'm not performing the janazah namaz. Can you imagine now what a great loss that Nabi Sam refuses to perform the janazah namaz? What a great loss and what a serious offense that Nabi Sam refuses to perform the janazah namaz until someone volunteered and says, no, well, I will bear that loss. I will sustain that loss. All right. Now, if you took full responsibilities, all right. But otherwise, I'm not prepared to perform the janazah namaz. So this is not a small thing. I said at the beginning that it's embarrassment during the day, and it's disgrace. It's embarrassment during the day, and it's restlessness during the night. We are hiding. We are making false excuses. We are making false pretexts, you know, lies, etc. But what for? Because we have to service this bad habit of ours, overexpending. So we ask that person, "Boy, you got so many properties, 10 properties, why don't you sell two and settle your debts?" So he says, "No, I'm afraid in the walimas, the ladies will say, you know, that this charter is going insolvent, all his properties are going for sale. All his properties are going for sale, so the woman in the walimas, they will say that, you know, this charter is getting insolvent, and so just to hide myself from that embarrassment, I'm not doing this." But are we living for the people's impression, or are we living for personal satisfaction? Are we living to impress upon others, or are we living for our personal satisfaction? We live for our personal satisfaction, not for people's impression about us. There was a very great buzrug, Nawab Qutbuddin rahmatullahi. But I just want to show you, just digress a little bit. When the satisfaction, contentment, and you're going the halal way, you're going the halal way, the satisfaction and contentment, then there's a lot of barakat that comes with it, provided the satisfaction, contentment. I just want to show you two stories. Yesterday there was one musalli here, so he related an incident about people that I knew. He says around the 40s, 50s or something, and in Queen Street somewhere there were some properties off for sale. That zamana, for £1,000 or something. So this chacha explained to that other chacha that was a little bit wealthier. He says, "This thing is going for £1,000. Why don't you buy it?" So the chacha, that old man, he opened his eyes, he stared at him. "Okay, this, how are we going to buy this?" "So, you know, the banks are offering just 1% interest. Why don't we buy it? In no time we will cover it." So he says, "Viyaj." Now this man that he's speaking about, I knew him personally. So he says, "This interest, where's your brain gone to? Where's your brain gone to?" This man says, "You know what? If had he only bought this, at this juncture that he's telling me the story, he doesn't know the seriousness of interest. And he says, had they only bought that property then, there would have been multi-millionaires. A prime site and such a big property, there would have been multi-millionaires. I told him, Chacha, open your mind. Truly, that Juma, see what you're talking about. You know, I say, the whole brain takes a somersault. So that's what's going on with you. To him, he could have bought that property. Number one, there was no guarantee that it would remain in his progeny. That's the first thing. There was no guarantee that it will remain. Because if it's earned in a haram way, it will go so quickly as well. Number two, even if it remained, it's not an isala sawab, it's an isala guna. The guna will continue with him. He's lying in his grave, and he's being heaped with gunas. He's being heaped with gunas there in the grave. So what good has he earned for himself, and what good has he earned for his family and progenies? So this man, this old chacha, that wasn't educated, illiterate, just that answer, viaj, this interest, and you want this curse to come onto my head? No, never. As a result, now I'm looking back at that old man, and I'm looking at his families. Alhamdulillah, from that time till now, you're seeing ulama, you're seeing jamaat work, you're seeing khanka work, everything is flowing in that family. Everything is going. But what? As a result of purity. That purity must leave its mark. You are sure about purity. And it must leave its mark. It must leave its mark. To the contrary, this person is sharing the story here. And then they went into interest. And there isn't a single alim there. There isn't a single hafiz in the family. And in fact, I mean, the more embarrassing thing is, you are listening to stories about father and son hitting it up. Fighting. Father and son fighting. But where it comes from? It comes from this haram. No discrimination, no concern about halal and haram. And this is where it takes you to. It leads you to this end. There's no dini work, no namaz ki pabandi, and there is fights and disputes within the house. But where it starts from? It starts from this. That person also I know, and this person also I know. Both I've seen. And I'm seeing the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person is concerned about halal haram. He's content with his lot. Allah ta'ala allows that family to flourish. There's jamaat work, ulama, everything carry on. And here there's not a single work going on. No jamaat work, no namaz. Kisi cheez ka thikana nahi. And there's fights and there's disputes within the family. So where does this come from? It comes from that haram. We are concerned about halal and haram. And this is the point it will lead to. Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah's great grandfather was Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Right? Halal and haram. There's two things we need in our life. We are moving. One is halal and haram, and one is good work. Be a good person at heart, at tongue, everything. Be a good person. Kulu min at-tayyibati wa amalu salih. That's all Allah wants from you. Be good, eat good, eat halal, and be a good person. Right? Eat halal. And be a good person. No matter what the enemy is doing to you, what the next person is doing to you, but you be good. How hard he's treating you, how much he's insulting you, how rude he is, how abrupt he is, don't be concerned about that. You be good. That's number one. Number two is this, that eat halal. If you have slipped up for that moment, it's no harm and no embarrassment for you to go and ask that person for maaf. Go and ask him for maaf. Go and lower yourself, humble yourself. And if you do it 50 times, humble yourself 50 times. So no, I respect my position, what people will think of me. No. You go to him and ask him for a maaf. You will do it for the 50th time, 60th time, and you will see that anger of yours will subside. But now you want to protect your image, you want to protect your respect, and you don't want to go and ask that person for maaf, that he's smaller than me, he's younger than me, he needs to respect me. Then you will carry on, you will progress in that wrong. But go and ask that person for maaf. For the first time, you wronged him. You spoke something that was not right. You spoke something that if it was told to you, you would have felt insulted. If someone addressed you in that way, you would have felt insulted. So go to him, go and beg him. The second time, hold his feet. The third time, go and kiss his hands, go and kiss his feet. And go and see after that anger ever overtakes you. That anger will be lost. It will be lost in the system. Finish, gone. But you lower yourself. This is that khannas, this is that shaitan, that doesn't get out of our system. We can't lower ourselves. No, I am that boss. And everybody must say, Ya Abbas. We don't want to relinquish our position. Hakim Ziauddin Sahib Rahmatullahi was a Khalifa of Hazrat Hafiz Zamin Sahib Rahmatullahi. And for some reason or the other, one staff of his came asleep. Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi learnt about it. That Khadim came and complained to Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi that Hakim Ziauddin Sahib has given you unslap. And for no apparent reason. So Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi sent a message to Hakim Ziauddin Sahib. Hakim Ziauddin Sahib is already a buzurg. He's not an ordinary person, he's already a buzurg. But it's a mistake. He slapped this Khadim. Mawla learnt about it. Mawla sent a message back to him that you rather settle this out, warna qiyamat ke roz bugatna parega. You rather settle this out, otherwise on the day of qiyamat, you will have to bear the consequence for this. Now he, Hakim Ziauddin Sahib, is a very wealthy person, extremely wealthy, not an ordinary person, very wealthy person, and he's a buzrug. Now imagine he's got hundreds of people working under him, so what position he's got, and he's a buzurg also. And he receives this message from Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi that you have unfairly treated this person, you have slapped him for no apparent reason. So go and settle it out, otherwise Qiyamah Day, you have to pay for it. Says, with all his wealth, with all his piety and position, his recognition amongst people, he left everything and he comes to Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, make dua for me. So Mawla says, okay, you don't need to make a big fuss about it. Ask for maaf and everything is sorted out. He said, he went straight away. He called all his people. You know, this Hakim Ziauddin, a very popular person. So hundreds of people are working under him. People that knew him and people that are working with him, he called them all. And he called that Khadim. And he gave him the stick or whatever. He said, hit me like how I hit you. You slap me like how I slapped you. He said, no, I can never do this. How can you do this? How can I do this? So no, you'll have to. I won't leave you. So no, you will have to hit me. So those people began to intercede. Hazrat, you have slapped him, that was one wrong. And if you ask him to slap you, then it will be a double wrong, it'll be a compounded wrong, because he's your Khadim. And for him to slap you, like, you know, it's like an impossible thing. So alright, if that's not the solution, then ask him to make me maaf. He asked him to make maaf. He says that for as long as that Khadim lived, he saw him right after that. You got this expense and that expense and this expense. But he embarrassed himself in front of all those people that were around. He brought all of them. And he says, I've wronged this person and I need to even the score. I don't want anything to be carried forward to the day of Qiyamah. That one slap, I'll have to pay for it. No, I can't allow this to happen. So all we need to do is just two things. Eat halal and be good. That's all. Kulu minat tayyibat wa amalu salih. Is that a complicated thing? Eat halal and be a good person. Allah Pak doesn't want anything more from us. Just eat halal and be good. We're talking of Mawla Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi. And his concern about halal and haram was like proverbial. You know, when you talk about halal and haram, it was like proverbial. He'll go to any length to abstain from haram, any length. But by the same token, he will not disrespect anybody. Now, to combine the both is a very, very difficult thing. You know, you say, I'm very concerned about halal and haram. I'm very pious and righteous. But then by the same token, are you careful in your speech? How you conduct yourself? How you work with people? How you relate to people? Are you careful about that? Very seldom you'll find both these features in one single person. He may be very conscious about his halal, haram, whatever else. But then insulting, embarrassing, running someone down, he's not concerned about it. The Quran is saying, if you want to be complimented and rewarded, then both. You do good and eat good. Eat right and be right. That's all the Quran is saying. Eat right and be right. That's all the Quran is asking for you. Allah. Yeah? Allah, Allah, Tawfiq, Nasir.